Is that?
That's the one on back. I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. Hilchas Chametz Umatzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zion, in the chapter 1, Law 7, in the Mosnayim text, page 18 and 19. Now I got to find it in my Rambam. Just give me 1 second. Where is it? Okay, here we are. All right, Halacha Zion. Now, the last halacha talked about eating a taruvas, a combination of chametz and non-chametz, and we said there has to be certain conditions for you to get lashed. Now, ha'oichel min chametz atzmo b'pesach kolshu. What if you eat pure chametz by itself, a mashahu, any amount? Hareza asur min haTorah. That is prohibited from the Torah. Shenemar, again, because the Torah says, lo ye ochel, which we already discussed yesterday. From ye ochel, the way it's worded, nothing that brings you to eating, that prohibits even hanoah, benefits. So now think about this. When you eat a kazayas, that is called eating. Eating means you've eaten enough that there's some degree of satiation, to some extent. When you eat just a crumb, you cannot call that eating. That is not eating. Right? What do you call that? Pleasure. A very small amount of pleasure. A small amount of hana. You can't say you ate. I didn't eat. I eat, but I had a little pleasure. I had one little taste. That erased hana. So you're transgressing the hana part, as it were, in the eating. So therefore, you've transgressed the Torah. The Alpha P came, but still in all, Eino Chayev Kares or Korban. You're not chayiv kares if you do it intentionally, or a carbon unintentionally, ella al kishir shu kazayis, unless you've had the measurement that's required of a kazayis.
There's no kares for pleasure, just for eating.
That's right, just for eating. So that's exactly. So now we can get you on the pleasure part, but not on the eating part. So now what happens then? So what happens? You go scot-free? No. For echol pachas mixayis b'meis, if you intentionally eat less than mixayis, makinoso makas mardus, we give you rabbinic lashes.
So unintentionally, nothing?
There's nothing we can do for you. We can't bring a korban, and we can't unintentionally lash you. We only lash people for doing things on purpose.
Unintentionally lash.
So you did still did something wrong, but yeah. We don't have the means to, you'd have to do tshuva, I guess. That's all we can do for that. Okay, now, when does the prohibition begin? Halacha ches. Asur lechol chametz biyom arbasar mechatzos hayom alamala. It is biblically prohibited to eat chametz from the Erev Pesach, from midday and onwards, which is shumitchila shoshvis biyom, the beginning of the seventh hour of the day. In other words, right after halachic noon. Halacha chatzos. From that point on, you're biblically prohibited to eat chametz. We'll see why in a minute. Well, if you eat from that time onward, loka min haTorah, you'd biblically be lashed. Okay? But hana, for example, selling to a goy, you wouldn't get lashed for that. Now, how do we know this? Shenemar, it says, lo sochal olav chametz. You don't eat upon it chametz. Now, what's it referring to? What's the it? Klomar means to say, al korban ha-pesach. It's talking about the korban pesach. So it says you can't eat chametz with the korban pesach. So now, the question is, so when do you bring the korban pesach? So kach lamdu, this is what we learned, mipi ha-shmua, from the rabbinic teaching that tells us what it means. Befer shtavar zed, it's explicit. It's telling us it's explicit, which means like this. The Torah is telling you like this. Lo socha chametz misha shirui l'shechtas ha-pesach. You can't eat chametz from the time where you could begin to shech the korban pesach. And when is it that you can shech the korban pesach? Shubein arbaim, which is in between the times, which is v'chatzi yom, which is at midday. In other words, the beginning when you could bring the korban pesach is from halachic noon onwards. So it says, don't eat chametz with the korban pesach. So when could I begin to eat the korban pesach? From midday. Don't eat chametz at the time when you could be eating the korban pesach, which is from midday. So that's as if the Torah had been explicitly telling you you cannot eat it. Now, the commentators do ask an interesting question. You cannot eat the korban pesach before the afternoon korban tamid was brought. There's a morning Korban Tamid and the afternoon Korban Tamid. You cannot eat the Korban Pesach until the Korban Tamid in the afternoon is brought. Now the problem is the Korban Tamid for the afternoon cannot be brought before Chatzos. So obviously you can't be shechting the Korban Pesach on Chatzos. It's got to be at least, you know, you figure about an hour after the Korban Tamid. The whole avoda on the Korban Tamid takes some time. The earliest you could shech the Korban Tamid would be 12:01. Alright? So it's gonna take till you shecht it and this and that. It's gonna take some time. So therefore, obviously, you can't be eating this Korban Pesach for at least the seventh hour of the day. Like, into the eighth hour, you know, till you've gone well past the midpoint. So how do we get this? So the answer is, because what if a Jew didn't wait for the Korban Tamid? What if the guy brought a Korban Pesach anyway? Bidi Evid. Is it a good Korban? Yes. So since Bidi Evid, if you bring a Korban Tamid, the Korban Pesach before the Korban Tamid, as long as after midday it's okay, so then it falls out to don't eat chametz with that, and therefore we come from that. So all we have right now is biblically prohibited to eat chametz from the beginning of the seventh hour. That's clear. Now we're gonna just carry things forward. Halacha tes. Now again, come to the rabbis now. The rabbis call along and say, you can't eat chametz mitchila shashis from the beginning of the sixth hour. I mean, after five full halachic hours, beginning of the sixth hour, the rabbi says you can't eat it. Why? So don't come to a biblical prohibition. In other words, we make an hour to make sure you're not going to make a mistake. You know, everybody goes, oh, you know, I got time. It's 11:59. I got another whole 60 seconds and your clock was 4 minutes slow. So, you know, let's make an hour so we're not going to make it. That's a rabbinic fence. Clearly a rabbinic fence. Now, therefore, that all begins. Umitchilas shoshishis. Oh, so now from the beginning of that sixth hour, yia hachametz oser b'achila ubahano. So now the rabbis say it's prohibited to eat and have pleasure. Okay, that is from the beginning of that sixth hour. Now, kol shoshishis, the whole sixth hour, midivrei sofim is rabbinic. Ushor hayom. But anything else from the day, Mishvi Sulamala, from the seventh hour onwards, Minatara, is biblical. Okay, again, from the seventh hour and on, from the day it's biblical, sixth hour, Achila and Hana, is rabbinically prohibited. Now let's increase it further. Shoch HaMishis, how about the fifth hour, meaning after four complete hours and beginning the fifth hour, We practically apply an ochlim v'chametz. You don't eat chametz even at the end of the fourth hour, going another hour. Why? Gzera mishum yom ha'mu'unan, in case it's a cloudy day. And shemayita be'chametz, you make a mistake in the fifth and the sixth hour. Because, you know, when it's a clear day, you'll see the sun is lower on the horizon. But if it's cloudy, there's no sun. So how do you know what the fourth hour, fifth hour? So by the fourth hour, we assume we'll know. But beyond the fourth hour, you could mistake between the fifth and the sixth hour, and you can make big problems. However, we don't go so far. But we don't say it's prohibited in the fifth hour. So what comes out? So from the end of the fourth hour. So let's backtrack. Midday begin the biblical prohibitions of eating and pleasure. The rabbis took it an hour earlier. At the end of five full hours, being the sixth hour, they said you can't eat it, can't have pleasure. And they said, you know what, it could be a cloudy day, so let's even make eating knocked off another hour. So therefore, rabbinically, at the end of 4 hours, you can't have it, but we still give you one more hour to have pleasure till the end of the fifth hour, and at the end of the fifth hour, then...
That's when you burn it in that last hour.
We'll see. You don't have to eat it. You don't have to have pleasure from it. Let's see. So now what happens to certain things between the fourth and the fifth and the sixth hour? Well, you got a little problem now with certain foods. You can't eat certain foods, but you could have enough from certain foods. And remember, it's only rabbinically, like really rabbinically. So lefikach, therefore, tolin ba truma v'lechem todo ki yitzva mechomet shehu. So therefore, truma and the lechem of the toda, or similar things that have chametz, are in a suspended state. Okay? In other words, it's a state where you can't eat it, And you can't burn it because it's in, as they say, nishtahin, nishtaher state, as we'll explain in a minute. Now, let's say truma, real truma, Kohen's truma, that happens to be chametz. Or if you had a toda offering, person brought a toda, Thanksgiving offering, that had about 40 breads, right? Pure chametz, right? That's a problem. And any bread that's left over is going into Erev Pesach. You know, we have a problem because what's the problem? The rabbi said you can't eat at the end of the fourth hour. But on the other hand, it's not really prohibited. Biblically, you could eat it. Right? So now the problem is, now what are we going to have to do with this stuff?
Can't burn it.
What are we going to have to eventually do with
burn
this?
It.
We got to burn it. But the question is, can you just take a good holy food and just burn it for the sake of burning it? No, you can only burn it when you can't eat it anymore. But really, 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 you could eat it. It's just the rabbi said you can't eat it. So now you'd be burning something that really you shouldn't be burning biblically. So with that puts it in a nishtahin, nishtaher state. Right? Because you can't eat them.
Yeah.
But they're still, and the rabbi said you can't eat it. It's kodesh, it's holy. But lo ochlim, but you can't eat it because the rabbi said you can't eat it. But look again, lo sar, you can't burn it because biblically you could eat it and you're not allowed to burn good, holy food for no reason if you can really eat it.
Yeah.
So we have to just let it sit around. Until the sixth hour comes along because, those things are ready, the sorf and alcohol, because you can't wait any longer because you're going to wait till the seventh hour, you're going to be transgressing, right? So therefore, you burn everything in that hour in the what?
Between six and seven.
Right, you don't burn until you get to the sixth hour, and the sixth hour you burn it for sarfim kol, you burn everything, all anything, chulin, chumt, all those things. So now he summarizes in halacha yud, summarizes where we're up to, and that's what he ends the parak with. He says, "Holamata." So what did we learn from here? Shemuter lechol chametz b'yoyim arbaasar at sof shor revis. You're allowed to eat chametz on erev Pesach until the end of the fourth hour. Even the rabbis will let you do that. And you cannot eat in that fifth hour, the beginning of the fifth hour, you cannot eat. But you could have hana. Let's say you give it to your animals, or better yet, sell it to a goy.
Is that when the transaction
happens? What? When you sell, do you get benefit? Of course you get benefit. You sold it. Technically, you don't realize this. You sold $500 of booze. And you're getting $500. You benefited from that. Now, he's only gave you a deposit of $10 for like $12 million of chametz, but you've made the sale, so you have benefited. So when did we do this? So we're allowed to benefit it the entire fifth hour, and that's when you want to have the sale done. Between that, the beginning of the fifth and the end of the fifth hour is when you want to sell the chametz.
You can't do it earlier.
Because you could do it earlier, but the problem is people can still eat chametz. That's why we don't sell the chametz that early in the morning because everybody's still eating chametz or could be eating chametz. So therefore,
maybe eating something that doesn't belong to you if the sale was done.
That's right. So we're waiting till the time when people can no longer eat it. At least we assume by people not eating anymore, you've put it away. That's why we don't have a lot of time to dilly-dally. It's not like we can have a 2.5-hour negotiation with the goy. So we usually start right at the beginning of the fifth hour. The whole thing takes about 15, 20 minutes. You know, till we go over the terms and everything. So you've got a good half hour to 40 minutes. You're well ahead of the game, but you got to really pin that time, like right around there. So you could have, now, and what happens, v'ha'ochel b'shoshishis, what happens if you eat it in the sixth hour? Makin also makas martis, we'd give you rabbinic lashes. Yeah,
rabbinically prohibited.
Now, the question is, so why didn't we give you rabbinic lashes if you'd eat it in the fifth hour? Because that's already like a rabbinic on a rabbinic already.
Is there a precedent?
What?
A rabbinic on a...
No, but chametz were very... Chametz is different than all of them. We're so strict about chametz. We already said it. Osir mashahu. Even a little drop that falls in, we're very strict about that. So that's to show you how terrible chametz is. We're very particular about this. Okay? So you're going to get rabbinic lashes for makas mardus. And anybody wants to eat at the seventh hour, then you get loka, you get biblical lashes.
Wouldn't that be kari? Is not.
Well, that's if it was.
Or if it's after.
Kares is after nightfall.
After nightfall. Still, okay.
That's what he said before, right?
Yeah.
Where is that? Way in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It says, very first line, Kol Ochel Ksais, first line of the parak. Anyone who eats Ksais Chametz, Mitchilas Leil Chamisha Sor. Because the Torah says from the first to the seventh, you get Kares. Rabbis understood the text mean you can't eat chametz with the matzah, but it doesn't say kares at that point. So that's those 6 hours where you, in beforehand, where it's usser, and you're transgressing a negative commandment, you get lashed biblically, but you're not going to get kares. So that's not as bad if you eat that.
I'm just thinking of the timing. So the last time, let's say it's like 10:30 or something like that, the last time.
Is it the end of the fourth hour?
Just do a 6 to 6.
Let's say six to six,
okay? So at 10 o'clock, you can't eat any more chametz.
Right. So when's the last time to burn if it was 10 o'clock?
Well, you know, so you're not having... So technically, you'd have until noon.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to wait that long.
Right. I thought it was...
Because you can't... You can still have a gnaw till 11 o'clock. It means that's when you can sell it.
Right.
There's no bal yira, bal yimatzah, none of that stuff's happening for later. But you're going to have a problem. If you're going to eat it in the seventh hour, you're going to be in big trouble. You can't have enough from it from, you know, can't eat and have enough from the sixth hour. Couldn't sell it already in the sixth hour.
Yeah.
In the sixth hour, you couldn't sell it. It's too late to be part of the sale. But what about burning it? I'm not benefiting from it, and I'm not eating it. So you could technically go until chatzos.
So we're not worried these
to burn
days
it.
About
technically, until chatzos, you could burn it. Although
like
no one waits that long, because again, you're playing a dangerous game.
Playing
to wait
fire.
That long, you generally would like to have it burnt by the end, by 11 o'clock, but you could go till 12. I mean, you could, you know.
But these days we're not worried about burning too early, because we don't have the holy food that we can't burn, right?
Yeah, there's no truma. You don't have to burn truma. When did we say we're burning the truma? In the sixth hour. In the sixth hour, we're saying you're burning the chumah.
Is that a problem? If you burn, let's say, like, usually I just come home from shul and I go and I go burn the chumah.
You can burn as early as you want. That's not a problem.
But you're still going to eat chumah when you go home because it's still within the 4 hours.
So really, it's better to wait until, because you're saying all my, because when you burn it, you're saying kol chamira. You should not burn it until you've finished eating chumah.
Right, that's what I was getting at.
It would be kind of,
but you haven't sold the chumah yet either.
But it's already, it's out of your domain. It's like I've delegated it to be sold, and I'm not going to touch it anymore. Right? So you've delegated it to be sold, so it's going to be sold. And it's like you've already given me permission to do what I want with it.
It was a week before.
Fine, but you know I'm going to sell it very soon, and you're not going to be able to, you already told me what's being sold. You already delegated what's being sold, and by that time, let's put it this way, by the time you're burning your chametz, all the chametz should be in the place where it's going to be sold.
Right, okay.
So now you've given me permission to sell it. Now it's going to be very difficult for me if you're going to take it out before that time.
So really, as soon as you burn it, there should be...
That's it.
You should have no bit. Now, of course, if you forgot and you see a piece of bread lying under the couch, put it with the chametz you're selling or something like that. But you definitely would want to be finished eating first. Then you burn the chametz. You wouldn't want to, if you plan on eating chametz.
So we have the meal here, right?
But that's not your food.
Right.
That's the shul's food.
Right.
Right, so then that's right, okay.
I don't go home and eat, you're right. I knew I had a good meal, I just couldn't remember where it was.
So you can technically, but no reason to burn it that early. I mean, when you come home, you burn it, unless you're running off to work.
Well, this week we won't have to worry about.
Yeah, it's a good Friday. It's a very good Friday.
Oh, is that right?
It's a very good Friday. Baruch Hashem. Hashem loves us.
Wow, it's going to be easy.
Now the only problem is do you make a late minion and an early minion for Shachar's. On the one hand, you don't have to go to work. On the other hand, there's a lot to do before Pesach, so I'll have to decide that. Okay.
I hope they have the fire department and all that stuff for us on Good Friday.
The fire department? Don't worry about it.
They have to work.
That's the Bayit's problem, right? We just go. Okay, Perek Sheni, chapter 2. So we've already done one chapter, guys. Go ahead. Chapter 2. Mitzvah Saseh Minatorah. There's a biblical commandment, a positive commandment, lahashpitz hachametz, to be mashpitz, to destroy the chametz, which will be articulated in halacha beis how you do it. Kodem zman iser achiloso, before the actual prohibited time of eating. Okay, in other words, which is chatzos. Okay, so really before chatzos. Right, because once the time comes from the Isser of Chametz, right, then by that, in other words, the positive commandment, when the time that you can't eat it, it's got to be destroyed before that time. So that time is noon. So up to a minute, technically a minute before that time, I can fulfill the mitzvah because I can't have any chametz past that time. Right? How do I know? This is Shesh Shenemar. It's a very interesting drasha here. It says, "Bayom harishon tashbisu seor mibatechem." Now this is funny. On the first day, you think it means the first day of Pesach. That's what you think it means. On the first day, you destroy all the leavening agents from your homes. Now if you look at that puzzle, you say, oh, I guess I could do it on the first day of Pesach. That's what it seems to say. But the rabbis explained to us, as a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, it means the following. Lomdu says shaharisha. When it says the first, it doesn't mean the first day of Pesach. It means harishon zehu yom arba asor. It is the 14th. Now, rishon can also mean, biblically, prior. That's what it says. And they bring different verses of the prophets. It says, they bring another prophet, that harishon adam tolad. Man was born prior. So in that text, in Eov, rishon means prior, before. So even though rishon many times means first, but think about it, could be first day or the prior day. Yom rishon normally means first day. But a first day could be the day before the other days you're counting. It could be the prior. And what makes something first? Because it's prior to everything else. So therefore, technically, Rishon can mean first in this unit, or first thing that's prior to this unit. And therefore, the rabbis say, you have to look at the whole context. The Torah says, Shivas yomi matzas tochelu, 7 days you eat matzas. Ach, but b'yom rishon, on the first day, Tashbisus or medechem, destroy the yeast from your house. So what does it mean the first day? It means the first day prior to the 7 days. That's how the rabbis learn it. The Karaites wouldn't learn it that way. The Karaites would probably have chametz and they'd burn chametz on the first day of Pesach because they would take the pasuk literally. But the rabbi said, now why did God write it that way? Okay, we'd have to get mystical to understand why did God write it a way that could confuse, but that's have everything. How about, it says by tefillin, bein einechem, between your eyes, and we know it's up here. So why it said it? Okay, there's a mystical reason for that. So the rabbis tell us, Beyom HaRishon here means on the prior day, the first day before the 7 days. What's prior? That means you got to burn it on the day of Erev Pesach.
Doesn't it also say something about on the 14th in the evening, about the Seder itself, which is also confusing?
No, that's about, you're mixing up with Yom Kippur.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll see. I don't think so. Yom Kippur, it says on the, you'll eat on the 10th. So it means you eat on the 9th, whatever.
No, 9th. I'll find it.
Okay, we'll see. Anyway, so they say it's the first day. Let's give a proof to this. Mashikos of the Torah, for example, it says in the Torah, Lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. You don't slaughter upon chametz the blood of a sacrifice. Klomer, what does that mean to say? Lo sishchat ha-pesach, you can't shech the korban pesach, v'adayin ha-chametz kaim, when there's chametz around. Now, when do you slaughter the korban pesach? Ushchitas ha-pesach, yom arba asar ha-chatzos. You shech the korban pesach on the 14th after chatzos. And the Torah says you can't have any chametz when on the 14th. So you already know the Torah says you can't have chametz on the 14th. So how can we say burn your chametz on the first day of Pesach, which is the 15th? So you know the Torah can't mean that. The Torah says you cannot shech the animal while you have chametz. You can only shech the animal on the 14th. And you can't have chametz. So how can you tell me that it means get rid of your chametz on the first day of Pesach? So we know it can't mean that. Therefore, how do you translate Rishon? Rishon means prior and not first. Okay? Let's do one more. Beis. So Martin at least feel it was worthwhile to come. Alright? I'm Perk Beis, Halacha Beis. Okay, now, we said in the earlier Halacha, it's a mitzvah lahashbis, to destroy. We haven't defined what does destroying mean. Now you're going to have one text in the Rambam, and then below we're going to see there's other versions of this text. Umahi hashbasa zuhamur v'tar. What is this destruction that the Torah is talking about? Okay, what does it mean? Right? Because the rabbis say, by the way, listen, wouldn't biblically be enough to nullify it? Think about it. If you nullify it, then it's not yours. But the problem is the Torah says, tashbisu. It says, destroy it. Destroying it didn't say burn it out, for example. So therefore, it's got to be something more than just nullifying. So how do you do it? So now the way we have the text here is, Shiavatlo, interestingly, Shiavatlo belibo. You nullify it in your heart. V'yachshov oso ke'afor, and you consider it like dirt. V'yosim belibo, and put on your heart. She'em v'shus ha'chametz kal, as if I have no chametz in my domain at all. V'shechol chametz v'shuso, and any chametz that's in his domain. Hareu ke'afor, it's like dirt. U'kedavr she'em v'shechol, has no need. And that's the way it's written in the Rambam here. However, there's a long, long footnote over here that that's according to the Roman version of the Rambam that says, that's according to this version. The Roman version says like this, that you remove the chametz that you know of from your domicile, and that's the destruction, and that which you don't know you've got, that you nullify in your heart. And that's how the Kesef Mishnah brings that. So according to that version, the nullification only helps for chametz that you don't know. But chametz that you do know, the nullification does not help, but rather you've got to remove it, and that means burning from the world. So that's a whole different version than you have in this Rambam over here. Okay, and then he brings from a whole Gemara, which we're not going to go into all this. But clearly he's saying, the I don't know what your English has, but the more correct version is the hashbasa is two things. That you, number one, get rid of everything you see, and that takes care of what you see, and you nullify that which you don't see. And then the nullification is as good as removing it. And that's how you fulfill the mitzvah. That's what we do. We look for everything, we destroy what we see, or if you sell it, then you didn't own it. And what you don't see, you have to nullify, because that would still be there, and you'd have to deal with that and nullify that. Okay, then we'll look.
The sale takes care of all of that, yes?
What? The sale takes care of, meaning, but if you sell it, but you can't sell everything, because then you have nothing to destroy.
Right.
So that's why you have the 10 pieces. You have to have some chametz that you're burning, or you're not going to.
So the nullification works on what we don't know about, and the sale works on what we do know about that's in our.
Well, not that we know about, it's not ours anymore.
Right.
It's gone. But now I have to still destroy something.
Right. You have to make sure you leave that 10 pieces.
So the burning is something we've taken off. It just says destroy.
Well, but yeah, but the simple way to destroy something is to destroy it, right? Okay.
So by putting the crackers or whatever in the paper bag, that is not included in the sale.
That's not included in the sale. For sure not.